God's name is not Harold. Though the little boy who had listened to the Lord's Prayer for years got it into his head that it was, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And what's in a name anyway? Quite a lot if Doris Kappelhoff, William Henry Pratt and Marion Morrison are anything to go by. Doris Kappelhoff becomes Doris Day. With a name like William Henry Pratt, you would never make it as a star of horror films, but change your name to Boris Karloff, and you just might, and he did. And John Wayne obviously reckoned his real name of Marion Morrison would take him nowhere as a male lead in Hollywood. Names used to convey so much significance. They were given to people to express something of their character, and old superstitions believed that once you possessed someone's name, you owned something of their soul. Or sometimes names were linked with the work someone did or the way they looked. Smiths, Carpenters, Websters and Fishers. And no doubt the original Albert Shufflebottom got his name for some reason or another. Certainly the names given to God in the ancient religion of Israel were full of meaning and purpose. Shield, Rock, I am who I am, Father, Lord. And so we say, time and again, the familiar mantra from the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name." Not that hallowed is a word that has much currency or meaning in the laid-back times in which we live. One sociologist commented that there's not much that's considered sacred. Our modern age has little idea of what hallowed means. In our casual secular times, people wear bright clothes to funerals, ancient cathedrals echo to the sound of ringing tills at their bookstalls and coffee shops. Reverence and respect for holy things are rare commodities, and it's only very occasionally that our society feels that sense of something sacred being betrayed. The local press thunders in righteous outrage when vandals smash headstones in a churchyard, or the nation shudders when terrorists burst into a church and spray a congregation with bullets. And we shake our head and wonder, is nothing sacred? When we say, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray that the personality of God, which his name expresses, will be reverenced, honoured, given its due, that God will be given his due. Now that might simply seem to go without saying that God should be given his place. Of course, if God is God, then his name ought to be honoured, his character respected. But the implication of the prayer is that this is not always so. That in our world as it presently functions, God has not been given the place that is rightly his. Indeed, this first actual petition of the Lord's Prayer expresses an underlying concern that the world seems increasingly bent on ignoring the living God, riding casually over his purposes and his character, sidelining his truth. One glance at our morning paper and we see how little attention the world pays to its God, the endless violence, the pervasive impurity, the tragic absence of any interest in the things of the Spirit among so many people. These are the realities that require us, with a heavy longing in our heart, to pray for a time when in human activity and thought, God is at least taken seriously. Nor, truth be told, is the only disregard the world's disregard. For it is also part of reality that often in the life of the church, in the lives of individual Christians, we who are supposed to be his people, much of our experience is lived as if the presence and power of God were not actually major preoccupations, top priorities. That truth can be detected in an indifference to learning more about our faith, a reluctance in our giving, a foot-dragging service, and a clear and deep commitment to the pleasures and preoccupations of a secular world. These mark the experience of much of the life of the Church of Jesus in our times and makes us pretty indistinguishable pretty often from the others in our world, those who claim no loyalty to God. Christians, it seems, are capable of being just as insensitive, just as lacking in passion for God as others who have no interest in the spiritual journey. Is it not true what one writer says? That the name of our boss, our bank manager, the names of our friends and colleagues, they have much more significance in our living than ever the name of God has. If we think of a circle and ask what's at the centre of that circle as our primary concern, it might be family or work or hobbies, and somewhere at the edge of that circle, God and his will for us and for our life. Does hallowed be your name mean placing God and his will at the core of our living so that it spills over into all the other preoccupations? It's no wonder the world finds it hard to take us seriously, to pay attention to our mission and our message. Why should it take it seriously if most of the church doesn't take it seriously? Do you remember the Tamagotchi craze back in the day? It was that little pet creature people kept in their pocket, and they played with it when it suited. It's terribly possible to content ourselves with a Tamagotchi God, a little pocket God to be taken out and tinkered with at our convenience, then put him back in our pocket when we lose interest or can't be bothered. Hallowed be your name is a prayer that has to mean, let my life in some degree indicate that this prayer is more than empty words, that in my living, God is at the centre, in his rightful place. May I have such love for him that all I say and do speaks of the fact that the Lord is there at the very heart of my thought and conduct. Let nothing I do fail to do bring shame on that holy name. In essence, it's a cry for holiness, a quest for a truly Christian life. To all of those of us who are anchored in the patterns of limited loving and half-hearted holiness, chained to contentment with a Christian life that is embarrassing in its grudging commitment, the hope of a life that truly honours God may seem a fading dream. Yet in a sense, the Lord's Prayer gives us hope, gives us the key to unlock the door to a holy and godly Christian life, the kind that others have to take seriously. The problem is that when we do decide to give ourselves a shake, we often tend to choose the tired, failure-strewn path of whipping ourselves up to try harder, climbing spiritual mountains that are unattainable, too high, much too high, and much too hard for our puny strength, our limited stock of faith. God's name will not be hallowed by our sweating and straining to be more disciplined, more interested, more anything. That muscular Christianity very easily and quickly collapses, either because we fail to achieve or because we become priggish as we begin to think we're actually getting there. How good are we? Instead, the model offered by the Lord's Prayer for the holy life is to direct our thoughts towards God, his character, his majesty, his power, his freedom. Time spent looking away from the sorry flop of our efforts to be better and looking instead towards God in his love and beauty. That opens us up to the holy life. Not our clambering over the slippery rocks towards some unattainable object, but rather reflecting on God, meditating on his nature and character. One wise saint of the church put it this way: wholehearted adoration is the only real preparation for right action, which develops within the divine sphere and is in harmony with the eternal purpose of God. First, awestruck recognition of God, and then doing his will. We turn our backs upon earth and learn to deal with its sins and needs by looking steadfastly up to heaven. Or as we sing in the little chorus that is so simple and so searching, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The way to a holy life, one that in its integrity and faithfulness holds the name of God as sacred, is easy. Look to him. Draw strength from your consideration and contemplation of his beauty and strength. Luther puts it well when he says, one does not need to command a stone which is lying in the sun to become warm. It becomes warm by itself. If we would but lie in the sun of the life of God, the warmth would come. Hallowed be your name. A big prayer that speaks of individual lives shaped and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and a world that comes to reflect the will and purpose of God. A new kind of world where God is placed at the centre and allowed to make the difference that He alone is able to make. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. Amen.